Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is November 2nd, and our lesson is a culture lesson. This month's lesson is The Window on the World. We'll be looking at different homes around the globe. So if you have your Advanced magazine, please open it up to page 10. With us in the studio today, we have a full studio. On my left is Lois. Welcome, Lois.
Hi there, Steve. Great to be here, and thank you for the nice, friendly welcome.
Yeah, we are so happy that you're here. We know you always have something interesting to share with us. Lois is our resident Canadian expert, and I believe we'll be going to Canada in this lesson.
I think we are.
All right. And ahead of me, directly across from me, is Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I'm excited to talk about homes around the globe.
Ben is also an expert at a certain region of the world, and we'll find out later where that is. Yeah. And to my right is Ruth. Welcome, Ruth.
Thanks, Steve. I'm glad to be here. I don't see my home in this lesson.
We don't, but we can talk about teepees.
Teepees.
Where do you live?
Or igloos, or that's for later in the program,
okay, we'll
too.
Talk about that.
We're
going to
see what happens.
This will be a fun lesson. We'll talk about different kinds of homes people live in. And some are very, very exotic. Some are strange. Some you may find that you'd like to try living in. Some you would say, not for me, right?
Exactly.
Right. Well, let's get started on page 10. Let's talk about cabins, cabins in America. We'll start on the reading on page 10. Window on the World. A glance at different homes around the globe. Small cabins, USA. Since the 1970s, homes in America have gotten bigger due to economic growth and the desire of families to have every modern feature available. But due to the recession of 2008 and a growing environmental consciousness, many people in America are reversing course and scaling back their living space. Cabins and homes between 300 to 500 square feet are popping up in cities, suburbs, and rural areas. The tiny homes are no bigger than many living rooms in typical American houses, but they appeal to folks who are downsizing their lifestyles and mortgages. Special features include elevated or hidden beds, miniature kitchenettes, and combination shower toilets. Okay, the author starts us off by talking about homes in America, North America, mm-hmm. We'll include that. And let's talk about this. I think all of us have traveled quite extensively around the world. Would you guys say North American homes are bigger in general than most other homes that you've visited in different parts of the world?
I would say so, especially in areas that are not big cities. Like if you think about suburbs or smaller towns, people tend to have a large house and a big yard.
Right. I think North Americans like big things. They
yeah.
like lots of like portions when you go eat at a restaurant tend to be big,
yeah.
right? Everything seems to be bigger in North America.
Yeah, in Canada we go with a smaller house than they do in the United States, but that's because of our weather, for one thing. It costs a lot of money if you are in a country that's mostly cold for half the year to always be heating such a large space. And if there's only two or three of you living in it, you don't need that large a space.
Right. Okay. We talk about modern features that people like in their homes. What are some of those features maybe you have in your home back in America, Ruth?
Well, some people like to have a special home theater with a big television and speaker so they can watch those DVDs or Netflix movies.
Right, right. They'll have one room devoted to watching movies. That's not uncommon, right?
No, I don't. I think it's probably kind of, if you took the whole population, is uncommon. But if you have a lot of money, maybe you are able to afford that.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of parents might say, we can do that in the family room or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Another common feature are big bathrooms with a huge big bathtub and a huge shower. In fact, some bathrooms are as big as other people's living rooms.
You're right about that. They'll have
perhaps even a jacuzzi or a hot tub mm-hmm. in their bathroom.
Right. Especially if they're, you know, if they come maybe from a state or a province where the property isn't so much money. Whereas if you come, in my case, if you come from Vancouver or Toronto, houses are getting smaller and smaller because the property is worth so much.
Okay. I also think of garages, two-car garages, right? Three-car garages. Mm,
yes, very common.
Absolutely.
So people want their car in the garage to protect it from the elements.
That's right. And a lot of homes in America, even though they might have only one or two kids, they might have a car for each person in the house.
Right.
It's amazing. And it seems, from my experience, it seems to be that Americans like to spend a lot of money on their comfort. And so when they get home and they see, oh, you know, there's no TV in this room or something like that, they might think, oh, I might as well spend some money to make myself more comfortable.
Yeah, I hesitate to say this, but I think right now in my parents' home, there are 5 TVs in a home where only 2 people live.
That's right.
But it's for convenience, like you said.
That's right.
My mom likes to maybe watch her show when she's folding laundry downstairs, or so she wants a TV in different rooms.
Yeah, same in my grandparents' house.
Yeah. Also laundry rooms, giant kitchens. So these are the things that make homes big. In 2008, something happened. What happened, Lois?
Well, we had the recession, and a lot of the world felt the recession. There was very few countries that did not feel it. And because of that, I believe some people had a reflective look and said, do I really need all this? And look at how big my mortgage is, and look how much square footage I have, and do I really need all this?
And the second reason is environmental consciousness.
All right.
Meaning people are considering how much space they're using, water, electricity, and maybe they're using more than their fair share.
Right. Good point. Lois, you just mentioned the word mortgage, and we're going to mm-hmm. run across that word in a second. Could you please give us a quick definition of what a mortgage is?
Yeah, I can. I actually used to work in mortgages in Canada. So it is actually purchasing a house. You have a down payment, so a percentage of your house you can pay for. But then the rest of your house, you don't have the money free to pay off the home right away, or you might have to work longer to be able to pay your house off right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to borrow a percentage. So some people might put down 25% of the house price and take a mortgage for 75%.
Okay, and that could last up to 20 or 30 years, right?
That's correct. So
you're paying for your house for 30 years.
Yes, and in some parts of the world, for instance, in Europe, it can go, I believe, to at least 50 years.
Wow.
Yes.
So imagine being strapped with that burden of having to pay a large amount of money mm-hmm. each month for your home.
Right, because it's so big, or maybe interest rates are very high to borrow the money at this particular time or another time in your life.
Okay.
Because bigger houses cost more money, so there you go.
Right.
Well, I don't have a house right now, but it doesn't sound like a good idea to get a big one.
Right. They're harder to keep clean.
That's right.
Harder to heat.
That's right.
In the wintertime, harder to keep cool in the mm-hmm. summertime.
And they are hard on the environment. As Ruth mentioned, they certainly leave a carbon footprint, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely. So people, North Americans, are seeing that there is value in scaling back their living space. They're going to live in a smaller space. And cabins is an option. Cabins and homes between 300 and 500 square feet are popping up. And so when we say square feet, that's usually how we measure area when we're talking about homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot of space, is it? 300 to 500 square feet?
It's not at all. In fact, there's a name for this kind of home. It's a micro home because it's so small.
Okay.
And it could be anywhere, like we say here, in cities, suburbs, or rural areas. It's just a small, tiny living space.
Okay. I have to admit, I've never seen a cabin in a city. Have any of you seen one in a city?
Maybe I haven't either.
I doubt that they exist in a city.
Just close to the city.
Okay.
Yes. And when I think about this square footage, being that I'm originally from Toronto, you certainly see a lot of condominiums at 500 square feet. In fact, I was in one last year.
Okay. Well, there's a picture of one on page 10, if you're wondering what a cabin looks like. And a cabin looks like it belongs in the country. So maybe not so often you'll see one in a city, but the suburbs for sure, and definitely in rural areas.
Usually a cabin, most people think of it as a vacation home. In other words, people will have a tiny little cabin on a lake or in the mountains where they go for a week or two with their family for a vacation.
That's a good point. And cabins, going along with what you said, Ruth, don't normally or usually have all of those things that make life comfortable.
Yeah, are all the amenities, right?
Right.
They don't have them. But you know what? That one there up on the top of page 10, I'll gladly take it. It looks beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so people are downsizing their lifestyles and mortgages, the word you just explained, Lois. Downsizing, we often hear when companies need to lay off workers, they want to downsize. And special features in these cabins include hidden beds, small kitchens, miniature kitchenettes is another way to say that, and combination shower toilets. Now, I remember visiting some houses where it's the toilet was kind of like a closet, but it was also the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And the water drain was the toilet.
Wow.
Have you ever seen that? Yeah.
Okay.
So it was very small.
That sounds like the bathroom in like a camping trailer, you know, that people will hook behind their car and drag along. That's the kind of bathroom in those.
Yeah, yeah. So very small. You still have the things you need to live. You still have a kitchen and a toilet, but everything's just been shrunk and downsized.
Maybe you have to shrink as well.
I think I would have a hard time.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tall.
Yeah, maybe we could build one, you know, exceptionally tall for you, Steve.
Yes, narrow but very
yeah,
tall.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
There you go. All right, friends, let's move on now to tree houses. We're going to go to Canada and Costa Rica. Please join us for the reading.
Tree houses, Canada and Costa Rica. Tree houses have become popular lodgings worldwide as vacationers seek to get in touch with nature. While permanent treehouse communities are sprouting up in forests from Canada to Costa Rica, as residents make these elevated abodes their homes. With abundant forests, Canada is a natural location for treehouses. There are a variety of sizes and designs that can be purchased and built for you, or you can visit one of the many treehouse resorts that have sprung up near Vancouver. In Costa Rica, the verdant jungle is the perfect setting for Finca Bella Vista, a 600-acre treehouse community where suspension bridges connect the structures, creating a neighborhood in the air.
Okay, we're talking about treehouses, and this is something a lot of kids in North America love to build. Maybe on summer vacation, they'll take some lumber and some nails and a hammer and try to climb a tree and build a little something. They have a little fort up in the tree. But this is very, very different. We're actually talking about a place you can live and eat and sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you guys. This isn't my idea of a fun time.
I got to send you on some great websites and maybe you'll change your mind.
Okay, I've looked at some of these pictures. The tree houses are small, and I just imagine like a lot of downpours in these forests, rainforests, and you're just sitting in this very cramped space watching the rain. Ruth, how do you mm-hmm. feel about that?
Well, I think it would be fun for a short time and when the weather's good, because my thought, Steve, was what happens if there's a big windstorm?
Right. Lois, I know that you have the opposite opinion. Share with us.
Well, I would love to do it, just because I was sharing before we went on the air today that my daughter and I have tentatively planned a trip to British Columbia on Vancouver Island to do one of their free spirit spheres. So they're actually a tree house, but they kind of hang from the tree. But what amazed me when I was looking at these tree houses in Canada, the ones in Canada, but I also looked at the ones in Costa Rica, is that the ones in Canada, some of them have better hardwood floors than you have in your house.
Yeah.
They are just gorgeous. And then also that so many of them have beautiful steel roofs, obviously for the rainfall.
Mm-hmm. Well, people aren't just going here on vacation to these things. They're actually making them their homes, as we find out on line 17 in Costa Rica and Canada. These people are making tree houses their homes. So I was kind of amazed to see that there's heating in these things, there's electricity, water, and gas stoves, which I thought would be quite dangerous if you're in a forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like an open flame inside your treehouse. Yeah. You have to be really, really careful about that, I think.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. Ben, does this sound like a good time to you?
Oh, yes, it does. I remember when I was young, me and my dad went outside and found a tree, and we started building a treehouse, but we never got this far. It looks like a really great time, just like Lois was saying, but I do agree with you. I think that after a while, it might become a little bit difficult to enjoy being in the tree.
Yeah. I think, as Ruth said, for me, it would be nice to visit. Mm-hmm. It's a nice novelty.
Right.
But to live up there for my whole life would be another thing.
I wonder if you could, though, if you could make a slide down to the ground.
I bet they exist. That would, sure.
That would make it, you know, more bearable.
Or a static line.
Yes.
Your zip line.
Zip line. There you go.
Oh,
zip
line
when you go to school in the morning.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Tree all the way down.
Well, who knows? Maybe that's possible because it says there's a variety of sizes and designs. Maybe you could even design your own, Steve.
There you go. I think you're right. And I think you can customize them and you could put a zip line in it or a slide. So for sure, I think that would be an option. In Costa Rica, the verdant jungles, that's the perfect setting for a place called Finca Bella Vista, which is a treehouse community. So you're in a neighborhood with, you've got neighbors in the trees around you. It's maybe the closest thing you'll get to living like a monkey.
That sounds
right. Yeah, you know, we were kind of in a treehouse style place. We stayed with my husband and my sister, and it was in a part of Bali, Indonesia. And, you know, I really liked the feel of it, particularly at nighttime. Can you ever hear the sounds of a jungle?
Oh, right.
So that was quite, you know, interesting. And also, you could really hear the ocean and see the fishing boats out on the sea. So there are some advantages to it.
That sounds nice.
What I think is interesting, too, Steve, is this community has got suspension bridges. It sounds like between the houses. So you don't even have to go down to the ground. You can just stay up in the trees.
Yeah. So if you're the paper boy, you don't have to touch the ground delivering your newspapers.
Or if you don't like your neighbors anymore, do you release the ropes?
While they're on the bridge?
I wasn't thinking that.
No, but seriously, danger would be a concern, right?
Yes,
You don't want to fall off the bridge. You don't want to fall out of your house. I don't know if it would be a good place for small children, actually.
Or older people.
Well, it reminds me of a book that when I was young, it was one of my favorite books. It's called Swiss Family Robinson, and I love that book. And in the book, they actually did the same thing. They had a treehouse home. It was really wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. So now it's come to life, for real.
So maybe we need to go with Lois and stay at one of those there in Vancouver Island.
Exactly. It's just about, apparently, about 20 kilometers north of where we have a place on Vancouver Island. So there you go.
So how many beds would this place have?
What? I think it can sleep either two, and some of them three people, and some of them four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but still.
Yeah, that's
enough.
Right.
Yeah, all right. All right, friends, let's move on. Let's go to Turkey now and visit some cave houses. We'll start the reading at the top of page 11.
Cave houses, Turkey. The Cappadocia region of East Central Turkey appears similar to the landscape of the moon. The barren rock outcroppings in this area look harsh, but a closer look reveals that residents have carved out spaces in the soft volcanic rock. Over thousands of years, the soft sedimentary rock has eroded into shapes that the locals call fairy chimneys, which have been used as churches, monasteries, and homes. For two millennia,
people have lived in these cave houses, which are cool in the summer and warm in the harsh winters. The area is popular for bikers and hikers and features inns and hotels that allow visitors to spend a night in a cave room. I think as a North American, someone living in America as a small child, we often think of people who live in caves as being like many millions of years ago, the cavemen, right? And something that doesn't happen anymore today. But we find out that's not the case at all. There are still people today, not just here, but in many different parts of the world that still live in caves. And one region in Turkey, there are cave houses. And we find that where these caves are, it looks a little like the surface of the moon. Right, Ben?
Yeah, and the surface of the moon is nice and gray. It's kind of rocky. So it must be really interesting, kind of gray and rocky as well, to live in this
kind of a harsh environment. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of trees, right?
Right, and it talks about barren rock outcroppings. So these big pieces of rock that are kind of sticking up all over the place.
Right, and there's a picture on page 11, kind of at the top to the right. You can see some of those outcroppings and see some of the carvings. Like, people are carving doors and windows in those things, and they're living in those outcroppings.
Well, when you think about it, Steve, if there aren't any trees to use the wood to build houses, where are you going to live?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And what Lois mentioned before about the tree houses having beautiful wooden floors, that makes sense, right?
Exactly. It does make sense.
There's the wood right there.
Right.
So people use what's available. And here, there are no trees available, so they use the rock.
Exactly. And the interesting thing about Turkey, as you folks know, it's divided in Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Istanbul, yeah.
Istanbul.
Istanbul. So we have part Asia, part Europe, but it's southern Europe. It's hot, okay? It's very hot. This will be a cooler environment to live in.
Yeah. I think one thing, naturally it happens, so they don't have air conditioners, I would imagine, in these things. And so it would be cool to live in these cave houses. Now, these cave houses are pretty old, and they've been used over the centuries as churches, monasteries, and homes. We know the word churches. Maybe we don't know the word monastery.
Well, a monastery would be a place where people will live and learn and work for religious reasons.
Okay, and particularly men, right?
That's correct.
And so the female version of a monastery is?
A convent, like in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to cave houses.
All right, cave houses are cool in the summer. We just talked about this, right? And warm in the harsh winter. So they help keep the temperature inside very comfortable.
Actually, there's a big cave near where I live in Montana, and the temperature in the cave is 55 degrees all year round.
Whoa.
Wow.
So it's cool in the summer,
yeah,
but yet warm in the winter, because when it's 0 degrees,
yeah,
it feels pretty warm in the cave.
Still 55.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is impressive. Okay, this area in Turkey is popular, we find out, for bikers and hikers, and it features inns and hotels that allow visitors to spend a night. Now, when we say hotel, don't think of a five-star
exactly.
hotel.
Exactly.
You're not going to get the bellhops and all of that. They are pretty impressive, though. Did you guys look at some pictures?
Yes. I think it'd be fun to stay in one.
For sure.
I do, too. Just as long as they were dry in the summer, like, or they had really good dehumidifiers running for me. Because if it's too damp and feels like moldy and musty or whatever, I can't stay there.
Yeah. I think this is a pretty dry region, though, of Asia, right? Or Europe.
Yeah, Europe and Asia, mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more desert-like. It's very dry climate.
Yeah. So the pictures looked very nice.
Yeah.
Looked like you could have a very comfortable stay in these inns and hotels in the cave. And you, too, can become a cave person, a caveman,
exactly.
a cave woman.
Woman.
All right, on line 5, we find that These caves are made of soft sedimentary rock. So what kind of rock is that, Lois?
Well, you know, it is soft. I'll tell you that right now because I have experienced that sedimentary rock in Canada. And it actually is put in our specialized terms because not everybody will be familiar with it. It's referring to a type of rock that has been formed due to particles that have been left by water, ice, or wind and have combined together over time.
Okay. And this is one of three major rock types that we learn about in geology, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the other two? Does anyone know?
Well, one is called igneous, mm-hmm. which would be the volcanic, when the volcano explodes, it's the pieces of rock then that the lava hardens into.
Okay.
And I should remember the third one, but I can't. It's just left me.
I think it's metamorphic.
Yeah, that's it.
I think it is, too.
Those are the three. Okay. Well, friends, we're so happy that you've joined us. We went to the USA, we went to Canada and Costa Rica, then we finished up with Turkey. We have to go to a few more places tomorrow. We hope you join us for that on our Window on the World. So until then, my name is Steve, and on behalf of all of us here at Advanced, it's time to say goodbye. Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.